Google's big software update.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Allianz, providing retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com.
From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, exploring the latest on how technology is changing our lives and our society. Today marks the beginning of Google's three-day conference for developers called Google I/O. Last year, the company unveiled its tech-boosted spectacles, Google Glass. It was perhaps one of the most extravagant unveilings in tech history. Glass-wearing Googlers streamed live video of themselves jumping out of a plane and riding into the convention on trick bikes. I/O stands for input-output, so time for some input from CNET's Molly Wood on what might be the company's output in 2013. She says it's going to be tough to top last year's spectacle.
If it doesn't have skydivers or BMX bikers or, you know, some combination of all of them, I don't know how you top that. But I think we might see some interesting technology, even if we don't see some exciting X Games style stuff.
Okay, all right. So we're not getting parkour, but we might get some tech. That's good. What are we going to see, do you think?
I'm sure we'll see a new version of Android. But most people don't think we're going to see an entirely new iteration. I'm sure that there will be a lot of news about Chrome and the Chrome operating system.
Okay.
Google recently released a laptop, the Chromebook Pixel. I imagine we'll see some updates there. Probably a new Nexus 7 tablet, the 7-inch inexpensive tablet that's been really a big hit. And a lot of talk about Google Glass. Those glasses have really made their way into the public consciousness. We'll probably see a lot for developers, because this is technically a developer conference, about how they can create apps. And we may even see some cool app demos that involve Google Glass.
Google's at an interesting place, especially with Google Glass. People have been talking about it for a while, but there's also been some backlash. Do you think that they might address that backlash in any way?
I would expect them to ignore it, even though they shouldn't.
What's interesting to you about this year's I/O conference?
Well, you know, I think a lot of us have in the tech press have been beating the drumbeat for several years about Google needing to unify some of these services. There's a rumor that they will unify all of their messaging platforms into a single chat platform, which would be wonderful, because you would feel like, okay, we use this one Google chat thing and there's only one, so maybe they're going to pay attention to it. I'd love to see them roll out some upgrades to Google Docs. So if this is the year where they buckle down and they make all their multiple projects really good, that'd be great.
Does that mean also if they unify their chatting software that I don't have to go onto Google Plus anymore, which I never use except when I'm trying to do a Google Hangout, or will I still have to do that?
The bad news for you is I have a feeling they're going to unify all the chat under Google Hangout.
No!
It's a very consumer-unfriendly approach. They are pushing and pushing and pushing people toward Google Plus in every possible way they can think of. And I'm sad to say I expect that to continue.
Is that ever going to work? Is that building for success?
It's a really risky strategy. It absolutely is, because every one of the services involved here is replaceable or exists somewhere else on the web, probably on Facebook.
Molly Wood is also the host of CNET's Always On. Molly, thank you.
Thank you. See you at I/O.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, offering tools to help businesses and professionals improve their search results. Learn more at 1-800-REPUTATION. By Invest Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland is hosting this year's G8 Summit. Learn more about the region's business credentials online at g8ni2013.com. And by Citrix, with GoToMeeting, enabling teams to meet and collaborate online in HD video from anywhere, anytime. More at GoToMeeting.com.
May is the month of upfronts. That's when television networks show off their new shows to advertisers. But there's a growing issue in the TV world. That would be cord cutters like me. We really don't watch cable, or at least we don't watch cable with a cable. We watch Netflix, Hulu, HBO Go. We get our TV content online. And that's just fine, except nobody really knows how many of us there are and how much TV we watch. The company Nielsen has traditionally been the authority on ratings, but it's been slow to measure internet viewing. Bloomberg media reporter Edmund Lee has been watching this. He says it's convenient for Nielsen not to look at online numbers.
They have a near monopoly. They're not in a rush to switch to something or start counting something, sort of a new disruptive element, if it might mean that it takes away some of the monopoly that they've essentially enjoyed on television.
That will probably soon change. Why? Lee says both networks and advertisers are putting more pressure on ratings companies to get real online viewing numbers. Advertisers want to know who they're actually reaching. And for networks, ad revenues are dipping without last year's Olympics and myriad political ads. Lee says as much as 12% of network audience has basically dropped off the map.
If that big of part of your audience for, say, a particular show is actually just watching it online and it's not being counted accurately, that's a lot of money that's being left on the table, and, you know, for whatever the ad rates you're getting. So that is a significant hurdle that the networks are starting to see that they have to kind of get over. And, of course, Nielsen is a necessary component.
Meanwhile, internet video advertising, while a tiny piece of the TV ad pie, is expected to increase some 41%. Lee says going forward is tricky for all parties. The online viewing environment is extremely complex. Nielsen has started to move to web ratings.
They started counting the ads you see online about 18 months ago. That's still sort of a running pilot program. The thing about that program, though, is that it doesn't include a lot of web publishers. For example, YouTube, you know, which is a whole lot of online video. Yeah, Google just won't accept Nielsen software. So, and you know, so that's maybe not entirely Nielsen's fault, but there's a whole swath of online viewing audience that it simply isn't being counted.
We want our own set of ratings. How do you watch TV or listen to Marketplace Tech? Head to our website, marketplacetech.org, and let us know. And combining the Guinness World Book of Records with Legos is usually a recipe for a win. 80 Lego lovers went to Denmark recently to build the longest plastic toy train track ever built. We're talking 6 hours of building and 100,000 Lego bits to make about 2.5 miles of track. I want to know if it was all Lego Star Wars sets or if they got help from pirate and castle sets too. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech on the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
From GPS to Siri, voice recognition technology has very much arrived. But where's it going?
Why should I have to walk over to a computer, open my email, and type in a bunch of stuff when I could just say, hey, Google, can you send an email and blah, blah, blah?
Why, indeed. I'm Kai Rizdal, Tech Companies and Your Computer's Voice, next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.